This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a special Easter series called Expecting a Resurrection When Life Falls Apart. In these lessons, Pastor Rick walks you through the events of Jesus' death and resurrection, events that were no doubt frightening and confusing to those around him. Stay with us and learn how the miracle of Easter can take you from fear and confusion to freedom and joy. Now, in a little while, we're going to let you know how to get the 7 Greatest Words of Love DVD study kit, perfect for individual or group study. If you'd like to take a sneak peek while you listen to today's broadcast, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called How the Resurrection Gives Us Hope.
When Jesus Christ was crucified in 33 AD, there were only about 120 followers that were true to his message at that time. They were meeting in an upper room, about 120 followers. Today, 2,000 years later, 2.3 billion people in the world, billion, claim to be a follower of Christ. 2.3 billion. Now, let me put that in perspective. That means one out of every three people on this planet, one out of every three would say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. The Christian church is by far, the largest organization on planet Earth. Nothing else comes close to the size of the Christian church. Nothing else comes close. 2.3 billion followers of Christ. The church is bigger than China. The church is bigger than China and Europe put together. The Christian church, followers of Christ, is bigger than China and Europe and the United States put together. Nothing is bigger on planet Earth than the Church of Jesus Christ. How in the world did that happen? Why did Christianity spread so far and so fast? How did a little band of 12 poor fishermen, the people that Jesus chose to be his first followers, how did that expand into one out of every three people on planet Earth? In a word, the resurrection. That changed everything. When God said, I'm going to come to Earth and die for the sins of all mankind, and then I'm going to prove that I'm God by coming back to life 3 days later, that is the single most significant event in history. Nothing comes close. It split history into AD and BC. Every other event in history is dated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, either before or after. Even your birthday is dated by the day, the month, and the year on how many years it's been since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the single most significant event in history because Jesus was resurrected. Now, let me explain the difference between resurrection and resuscitation. They are not the same. People get resuscitated all the time. You know, if you faint, we'll resuscitate you. If you go in a coma, you can be resuscitated. There are people will die for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or my heart stopped for a certain number of times. Those are resuscitation. Resurrection means you've been buried in the ground for 3 days and then you come back to life. Only Jesus Christ has done that. That's not resuscitation, folks. That's resurrection. And that single event changed all of history. And what it did is it turned those first followers of Christ from being disconsolate and depressed and disillusioned and in despair and defeated into courageous and contagious people filled with hope. And they began to spread the message of hope everywhere because when they saw Jesus had come back to life, it changed everything. What I want to do this Easter is I want us to look at the 6 reasons why followers of Jesus Christ are the most hopeful people on the planet. We have more hope than anybody else. There's no contest. We have far more hope than anybody else in the world because of what Jesus Christ did at the resurrection. The first reason Jesus' resurrection gives us hope is we have been completely forgiven. We have been completely forgiven. Jesus repeatedly said over and over, I'm going to die on the cross to pay for all your sins. He said it over and over and over. And then he said, and then I'm going to come back to life 3 days later to prove that I am who I say I am. Now, if he hadn't done the second part, the first part doesn't really matter. If he didn't come back to life, then I have every reason to doubt that he died for my sins. The two go together. Now, let me give you some good news. There on your outline, the Bible says this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Christ, we are set free by the blood of his death. And so we have forgiveness of sins because of God's rich grace. Now, we're all imperfect. So we all carry regrets and we all carry remorse and we always wish we had done things differently. We all have sins and things that we feel bad about and guilty about. And God doesn't want you carrying guilt through life. God doesn't want you carrying a load of shame through life. The whole reason he died on the cross was so that you could be free from all of that guilt, all of that shame. Guilt wastes an awful lot of energy. It fatigues you. It tires you. It robs you of peace of mind. But Jesus said, I came to die for your sins so you don't have to die for them. I was hung on the cross so you can quit hanging yourself on the cross. I don't know if you've ever asked the question or thought about it. Who really killed Jesus? Who put Jesus on the cross? Who is to blame for Jesus being on the cross? Well, it wasn't Judas. And it wasn't Caiaphas the high priest, and it wasn't Pilate the governor, and it wasn't the Romans, and it wasn't the religious leaders, and it wasn't even the crowd. The answer is twofold. Who put Jesus on the cross? And this may shock you. This may shock you, but the answer is twofold. The first answer is this. God did. God did. God put Jesus on the cross. It was his plan from the very beginning. It's why Jesus came to earth. To die for our sins. That's the whole reason. It was God's plan before any of us were ever born. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 in the Bible. All of us have strayed away like sheep. In other words, we've all done our own thing. We've all left God's plan to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him, talking about Jesus, the guilt and sins of us all. From prison and trial, they led him away to his death. But who among the people realized that he was dying for their sins, that he was suffering for their punishment? Said nobody realized that at the time. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was God's plan that he should suffer. It was God's plan. Yet, now notice the change in tense here. When his life is made an offering for sin, he will have a multitude of children. In other words, there'll be people who will follow him. I don't know if you noticed in this passage the change in tense. The first part is in past tense, and then it goes to future. When his life is made an offering for sin, he will have a multitude of children. You know why the change in tense, past tense to future? Because this was written 700 years before Jesus Christ. This is a prophecy. And Isaiah, 700 BC, is telling and predicting exactly what's going to happen to the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God who comes to earth. And this happened and exactly how it happened. It was part of God's plan. But the second one may surprise you too. Who put Jesus on the cross? We did. I did. You did. If none of us had ever sinned, Jesus wouldn't have to die for our sins. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 4. Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. Circle the word us. He was raised from the dead. This is what Easter's all about. He's raised from the dead to make us right with God. Who's included in us? You. Me. Us. We are made right with God. So we've been completely forgiven. That gives me hope. I'm not facing any judgment. I have hope because I have been completely forgiven.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and had life-changing power. That's why Rick has put together an amazing 7-session DVD study kit called The 7 Greatest Words of Love. In it, he focuses on the last 7 statements that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross. These words unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. We'll send you a copy of the study kit to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support. There are only 3 days left to get this awesome Bible study tool, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
So we've been completely forgiven. That gives me hope. I'm not facing any judgment. I have hope because I have been completely forgiven. Number two, second reason Jesus' resurrection gives us hope is we're no longer afraid to die. We are no longer afraid to die. Now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, one of the things he did is he broke the power of death and he broke the power of the fear of death. The fear of death is a universal fear. Everybody has it. I've traveled all around the world. One time I went 46,000 miles in 40 days, literally went circled completely the earth. And I found the fear of death everywhere because we're afraid, it's unknown. We don't know. But what did Jesus do? He came back to life. Let me explain this. If Jesus Christ hadn't resurrected from the dead, you wouldn't even know that there's life after death. You wouldn't even know it. You might guess at it. You might say, well, I hope there's life after death, but you'd have nothing to prove it. But Jesus Christ came back, said, I've conquered death. There is greater life after death. And that's good news. That gives us hope. Here's what Jesus said, John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus promised, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, like everyone else, they will live again. That's a reason for hope. That's a reason for hope. If Jesus Christ hadn't resurrected on Easter Sunday, we're all helpless and all hopeless. Death is the end. It's over. That's it. Now, when Jesus died, they buried him in a tomb. In those days, they didn't bury people under the ground as much as they buried them in caves, kind of like mausoleums. And they would put a stone in front of the cave and they would roll it away and put some body in and then roll it back. And they did this because entire families for generations would have like a family tomb. And there would be a lot of people buried in the same cave. And so after Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea volunteered his tomb and they rolled a huge stone in front of it. But then Pilate had it sealed so it couldn't be moved back. And he posted Roman guards on either side. Now, the 12 disciples who are followers of Jesus at this time, they're scared to death. They run, they turn tail and they run, they're scared. None of them believed the resurrection would happen. And so they're hiding in fear. They're disillusioned, they're depressed, they're afraid they're going to be executed next as the followers of Jesus. And so they're running away and they're hiding. Now, 3 days later, on Easter Sunday morning, one of the women who's traveling with the disciples, Mary Magdalene, decides she's going to go to the tomb to be there. So she goes to the tomb, and when she gets there, she finds the seal has been broken, the stone has been rolled away, there's no body there, and the grave clothes that Jesus had wrapped in are folded and sitting there on a step in the tomb. By the way, if you ever, some people say, well, maybe they stole a body. If you ever steal a body, leave the clothes on him. There would be no reason to take the clothes off of a person and steal the body. They're just, you know, if you're going to steal it, you may as well steal it with the clothes on it. But they're left there. And so Mary thinks the body's been stolen. I mean, that's the logical conclusion. And then all of a sudden, she hears a voice and she turns around and Jesus is standing there, the risen Jesus Christ. And he says to her, Mary. And when she calls out his name, as she'd heard his name, her name called many times, she knew it was the Lord. And he says, Jesus says, go tell all my brothers, go tell all the disciples that I'm alive and I'm coming to see him. So Mary runs to this house where the disciples are inside with the door locked for fear. She bangs on the door. They let her in. And she says, you guys aren't going to believe this. Jesus is alive. And you know what these great men of faith did? They doubted her. None of them believed her. None of them said, Mary, you've either seen a ghost, you've had a hallucination, you're just in deep grief. They don't believe her at all. So the point is this. Even the disciples, none of Jesus' followers actually believed he'd come back to life until they became eyewitnesses of it. It wasn't just hearsay. They said, I've got to see him. Now, let me ask you a question. If you saw someone walking down the street that you had just buried 3 days earlier, how would you feel about that? Maybe confused, maybe scared to death, frightened, fearful, excited. Do you think you would ever forget that experience? Not likely. Would it change your worldview about life and death? Oh, yeah. Would it give you new hope? Oh, yeah. That there might be life after death? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. One of the things that's difficult to explain without the resurrection is the sudden change in the disciples, because at the crucifixion, they're all scared to death. They're running. They're defeated. They're demoralized. They're in despair. They're disillusioned. They're depressed. 3 days later, they're ready to take on Nero and the Roman Empire. What happened? They had seen Jesus. They were eyewitnesses. They knew physically something had happened. Not just them, but a lot of other people did too. But now they've got courageous confidence. Now they've got contagious hope. Why? They're eyewitnesses. Here's what Peter wrote down in his book. When we told you about the powerful coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were not telling made-up stories that someone invented. Rather, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And not only these original 12, but Jesus came and stayed on earth for another 40 days, walked around Jerusalem for 40 days. That's why literally tens of thousands of people became believers in a very short time, because there were so many eyewitnesses. Here's what the Bible says, Acts chapter 1, verse 3. For 40 days after his death, Jesus appeared to people many times in many ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. Can you imagine being one of the executors who put Jesus on the cross, one of the soldiers, and you saw that guy die, and all of a sudden he's walking down the street, and you go, he's back. That would be strange. Paul lists just a few of the eyewitnesses. This isn't even an entire list. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. And he was buried, and then he was raised from the dead on the third day. Then he says, he was seen by Peter, and then he was seen by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Most of whom are still alive, though some have died by now. He sits on a hillside and teaches 500 people. Then he was seen by James. Later, he was seen by all the apostles. Last of all, I saw him too. This isn't even an entire list. For 40 days, he has multiple meetings with a lot of different people. Friends, this is what's called conclusive proof. This is what's called definitive evidence. Having 900 eyewitnesses would stand up in any court anywhere in the world. If I were to tell you that this afternoon over at Starbucks, I saw the Queen of England, You might have a reason to doubt that, because it's just one guy saying it. But if there were 900 different people who said, oh no, she's been here for 40 days. She's staying at the Quality Inn. And we had dinner with her the other night, and somebody said, oh, well, we had breakfast. Another guy goes, well, we went fishing with her. And I said, oh no, well, we had her over for dinner. And I said, well, we heard her with 500 people at a symposium. And you had 900 eyewitnesses right off the bat. Friends, now you've got a problem with your doubt, because it's not just me saying it. It's eyewitness after eyewitness after eyewitness for 40 days. This is why the church exploded. And within years, there were 30,000 members of the church just in Jerusalem. And then it had grown to nearly 500,000. And it exploded all over the Roman Empire. And what had been persecuted within 300 years is now the official religion of the Roman Empire. Why? Because of the resurrection. There were so many eyewitnesses. Now, there's a third reason we have hope. And it's this. We now have God's Spirit in us. We now have God's Spirit in us.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. The words that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross hold the key to finding fulfillment in your life, career, and relationships. That's why Rick put together a powerful 7-session DVD study kit called The 7 Greatest Words of Love. Get it now and unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. The study kit includes 1 7-session DVD and 1 workbook and is perfect for individual use or to study with a small group of people. We'll send you a copy to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. There are only 3 days left to get this awesome study tool, so don't wait. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Here's a note that I got from a woman named Becky. She said, Pastor Rick, the Daily Hope Ministry has truly helped me in many ways. I attend church on a regular basis. However, the Daily Hope broadcast has taught me so much, and I can honestly say that I never miss one of those Monday through Friday morning quiet times listening to Pastor Rick's teaching, growing closer to the Lord, and applying what he's taught me through his messages. I am blessed beyond measure, and I absolutely love the way the Lord is using Pastor Rick to reach out and teach Christians and non-Christians as well. One day, I believe I'm going to be able to increase my monthly contribution. I also believe that in the not-too-distant future, that will happen. Woohoo! Faithfully fit. Becky, I love your heart and I love your faith and I love this phrase, faithfully fit, Becky. That's great. I want everybody to please pray with me that the Daily Hope radio broadcast and all of our online resources will continue to transform lives with the simple truth of hope through Jesus Christ. By the way, you can catch up on Daily Hope messages that you may have missed by going to PastorRick.com. They're all there. So, check out the ones that you may have missed, and thanks for listening today. Let's all stay, like Becky, faithfully fit. God bless you.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program has been sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and your generous financial support.